Today, my dear faithful, is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, my dear faithful, I told a story about Spanish crusaders who were saved from a Mohammedan army by the apparition of St. James the Greater. Count Alvar Perez was the man in command over this Catholic troop. And when all looked hopeless during that battle, it was after Count Alvar's battle cry, Santiago and Castillo, that Santiago, or in English, St. James, appeared and so gloriously defeated the enemy. However, an amazing fact about Count Alvar is that just a few years before this battle, this noble knight was not a member of the Spanish army. In fact, he was in the Muslim army. You see, Alvar's father had been exiled by the last king, Saint Fernando's own father. Alvar joined his father in his banishment, along with 160 knights loyal to them. With nowhere else to go, this band of exiles soon settled amongst and began working for the enemies of Christendom, the Mohammedan rulers. This went on for some time until Saint Fernando, the king, his renown as a warrior and leader of his Spanish Catholics, made the Mohammedans tremble in fear. In fact, rather than fight the Spanish, the Muslims sent a delegation to the Catholic king to make an offer of peace. And leading that delegation was Alvar, with all his 160 knights in exile with him. Upon seeing the exile and recognizing him as a fellow Spaniard, Saint Fernando, the king, looked to the statue of Our Lady attached to his saddle, and he prayed, "My Lady, thou must give him to me." Alvar soon drew near and proclaimed, "The city of Granada has sent me, Lord, because there your power is much feared." He then passed on the Mohammedan peace offering of over 1,000 captive Christians. Saint Fernando answered that there was nothing more he desired than his people returned to him, because, as he explained, "Think how good it will be to free them from such dangers, not only to their bodies, but to their soul, which is much more precious." Alvar understood immediately that the saintly king meant not only the danger to the captives, but the danger to Alvar's own salvation. With hope in his heart, the exile readily promised for himself and for all his men, "I could give you the gift of 160 more." Saint Fernando gladly accepted, and he welcomed Alvar and all his knights back into the kingdom. The king went even further and gave Alvar two castles to protect, making him a count once more. For the rest of his life, Count Alvar spent himself for Saint Fernando, and he was ready to lay down his life for the great gift of forgiveness. In some respects, my dear faithful, this Count Alvar was like the publican from the Gospel of today's Mass. A publican is one who worked for what the Jews believed to be the great enemy of Judaism, the Roman Empire. Just as Alvar worked for the Mohammedans, the enemy of Christianity. The Jews considered such a man a public sinner, who looked more to fill his pockets than to his religion and his people. And yet, in this parable our Lord told in today's Gospel, it is the publican who humbly begged God for forgiveness. "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this humble prayer was answered. God looked on this man's heart, saw true sorrow, and forgave him his sins. Such, my dear faithful, is the compassion of God, which Saint Fernando, the Spanish king, mirrored as well. Both this saintly king and the King of Kings long for the conversion of the sinner, even though they are enemies. Saint Fernando spent much of his life fighting against the Mohammedans, struggling might and main to take back his homeland from the hands of the infidel. He sacrificed himself through his efforts and even his life for this goal. Yet, in the story I just told, there stood before him a fellow Catholic betraying Christianity and working for the enemy. Anger would be a natural response, but Fernando had only compassion, praying for this man's conversion. And it is the same with our Lord. Since the dawn of creation, God has worked might and main for the salvation of souls, even unto the death of the cross. All sin weighed upon Christ on Calvary, and each new mortal sin opens anew, so to speak, the wounds of the Passion. It is as if the spear pierces his most sacred heart once more, each time his own creatures turn against him. They reject his kingdom and go over to the enemy, the devil and his legion. For what? Those beloved souls run after the passing empty pleasures of this world and trade for eternal damnation. Would it not be just for God to seek vengeance, to strike down his traitorous enemies? And yet, for the sinners in this life, the Sacred Heart is filled with compassion, as we see over and over again in the sacrament of confession. No matter how many times a soul falls, as long as he has true sorrow, the mercy of God waits for him in a confessional. After confessing his sins, he will be no longer an enemy. In fact, Almighty God will embrace him as a friend. He goes even further, and as Saint Fernando gave lands and power to Don Alvar, so God restores the merits the soul lost by his sin. However, there is one great difference, my dear faithful, in this comparison between Count Alvar and a soul. It is that once Alvar was received back, he too fought might and main for his king. He was ready to die for Saint Fernando, as he proved in that battle that I spoke about last week. That same determination, my dear faithful, that firm resolution is what we should have every time we leave the confessional. If we have true sorrow for our sins are forgiven when the priest absolves us. One of the necessary parts of true sorrow, though, is the firm resolution to sin no more. And how can it be otherwise? Can the infinite justice of God be appeased by empty words mimicking sorrow and said only for that soul to return right back to sin, to wound the Sacred Heart so thoughtlessly and so callously? Yes, God understands our weakness. He knows it better than we do, how liable we are to fall, especially if we have fallen repeatedly to the same sin and developed a habit out of it. The key to that firm resolution, though, is to be determined when making your confession to do better for the future, to reform your life, and to love your God who gives and forgives so much. When preparing for confession, then, my dear faithful, strive to make a good examination of conscience, then stir up sorrow for your sins, and make a resolution to overcome them in the future. If you find yourself falling again and again into the same sin, ask advice from your confessor. Strive to think of practical steps to overcome these future temptations. One resolution that will help in every state of life and every temptation is to be determined to pray. Make prayer a part of your daily life. When you rise in the morning, ask God for his help. When you go to bed, thank God for his gifts and apologize for your failures. Above all, when temptation strikes, and strike it will, ask the divine assistance. turn to Almighty God and ask for his help. And with it, there is no temptation you cannot overcome. If you, God forbid, should fall, beg like the publican, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And return back to the confessional to begin anew. If you truly strive, my dear faithful, the glory of heaven waits for you. The hand of God is always ready to strengthen you. The angels and saints, your brothers in arms in the fight for salvation, they pray for you and they rejoice at each of your victories. Be firmly resolved then, my dear faithful, to overcome and take the necessary precautions for the future. Prove your sorrow for your past failures by your efforts now. And please God, at the end of your life, the King of Kings will embrace you as a friend and welcome you into eternal bliss. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.